Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I know some of y'all are tired. Some of y'all were here all three nights. Praise God. I thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. You know, it's like, I was saying earlier, it's like when you give a party, you know, it's just bad form if you giving a party and you not there. Amen. But I can say that we had revival and we turned out in good numbers, especially on Friday. Amen. So I just want to thank each and every one of you who came, who showed up at least one night. And then all y'all who just did yeoman's work, because there was some folk who showed up all three nights. Amen. Amen. And so I thank God for them as well. Matter of fact, let's just do this now. If you in the house, just take your right hand, put it over here on your shoulder and your left hand and up under that. And then just rock yourself back and forth. All right. That's Pastor hugging you. Amen. That's me hugging you. I know I can't get all of you because some of y'all just run up out of here. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, the young man this morning, praise God, was Joey or Joseph? Which one? Jordan. Man, y'all shame on me. Jordan came up and he read the scripture for us. Thank you. Thank you. And then he ran away. We're like, at least stay for the prayer. But anyway, it comes with time. Amen. But that is what we are. And we've actively, us and the leadership have actively talked about getting our young men, our young women, into doing more things during the course of the service. Amen. Because it's not just our church, it's their church as well. And the truth be told, they are not the church of the future, but they are the church of today. Amen. And shame on us if we don't give people like Morrissey and Armani and all those who are around us an opportunity to grow. Amen. You know, we can't be doing everything ourselves.
No.
Amen. And I ain't going to try. That's why I've also enlisted the help of Sister Benjamin. Amen. We thank you. Look, she's going to be helping out Sister Phyllis. And don't mean that Sister Phyllis done lost her job. She still got a job. Amen. But we all need help. Amen. Matter of fact, Pastor need help. That's why I have a minister. I'm going to just call you Minister Bo because he just like Bo. I know his last name is Gaffney, but he like Bo. So that's why we have Minister Bo, and that's why we have Minister Caldwell. Amen. Look, any organization, if the leader falls away, it's still, if it's a good organization and a functioning organization, amen, it should be able to continue to function even when the leader is not present. Amen. Amen. And so there ought to be a redundancy in terms of who does what. Now, look, that was the sermon before the sermon. Now, let us turn our eyes towards the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ruth. To the book of Ruth. He's like, what caused him to go to Ruth? Ruth, chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Amen. And again, we just thank Sister Benjamin for just kind of stepping in and stepping out. But, you know, like I said, we talk about your tithe, your talent, and your treasure. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, she came to us and she said, let me do something. And so for some of y'all ain't even came forward and said, let me. You know, I'm just saying. But praise be unto God for the willingness of folk to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. I still hear pages turning. So, you know, I'm a good pastor. I can keep talking. But when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, y'all going to have to do better than that, especially if you want to get out of here at a decent hour.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
There you go. Sound like some folk ready to go back to bed. All right. All right. And it reads on this wise. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people.
and thy God, my God.
Yes, yes.
Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And so just for a few moments of our time, we just want to talk from the idea, the subject, or the theme, my ride or die. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My ride or die. Some years ago, while I was in the employ of the city of Los Angeles, I had the opportunity to work as a homicide detective. And so during one of these investigations, I came across some circumstances that, well, I'll just lay them out for you and I'll let you decide how interesting they are. There was a young lady, and she had she had been slighted by a young man. It wasn't anything physical. She didn't lose her life, but he had said some things that hurt her feelings, and hurt her feelings in such a way that she left where that man was and went and found her friend, another young man, and she went and responded to his location, and she told him all that it was that the other person had done. Well, she told her tale of woe to her friend. And her friend was a male, and they weren't in any type of relationship per se, other than that they were friends. And they had been friends for a long time. They had gone to school together. They had their families knew one another. They continued this friendship from elementary all the way through high school and beyond. And so they had been friends for a good long time. And so she went to her best friend, her best male friend. Well, her friend, he had some issues. One of which is that when she was telling him this story, he was good and drunk. He had been smoking and toking and drinking. And so when she began to tell him her story, he began to empathize with her story. He also identified with her story. And so they came to a determination that they were going to do something. And so he turns to her and he says to her, well, what is it that you want to do? And her reply was, whatever is clever. So what he promptly did was he armed himself with his handgun. They both leaped in his car. They found the offending party and quickly dispatched him. I just came by to let you know this morning that in the pericope that we're going to peruse today, we don't have those type of circumstances, but here in this wonderful story that we're about to look at, we find that there is a story of love here, a story of devotion, a story of fidelity. And here, if for many of you who don't already know the story, let me lay a little bit of the background before I go into what it is that we want to cover today. Here in the story, there is a woman by the name of Naomi. Naomi had a husband by the name of Elimelech. Elimelech had also two sons. They had two sons together. One was Chilion and the other was Mahlon. And so during the days of a famine, they left Jerusalem and went into the land of Moab. There, Elimelech took his wife and his children, and there, over the span of 10 years, the men took up Moabite women. One married a woman by the name of Orpah, not Ophrah, but Orpah, and the other one by the name of Ruth. See, y'all thought I was going to say Ophrah, huh? So they take wives, and so they're together for some 10 years, but as life will happen, and as life does happen, Elimelech dies. Well, of course, they were sad, and I'm quite sure they were upset by that. But they, like most people in life, you got to keep on living. And so during the course of that time, not only did the patriarch die, but then both of the sons died, Mahlon and Chilion. And so when they died, here it is, what's left are these three widowed women. Now, in this time, it wasn't like this time as you live in now, where you got Social Security or some other things you can fall back on, or that Elimelech had laid a foundation, so if he had gone, they could continue to live. But here it is, there were three widowed women, and these three widowed women had no, truly had really no resources. And so here it is, Naomi, who is the matriarch of the family. At this point, it falls on her shoulders, and Naomi is looking at her situation and her circumstances. And so she has made the decision that maybe it is better that we break company and each of us go our separate ways. Now, let me put my finger here. This is not really a portion of the sermon, but it's something we need to cover. When something terrible happens, oftentimes we find ourselves wanting to break away from those who are around us and hide ourselves in a cave somewhere and have our own pity party. But don't do that. Resist that, because it's when you're by yourself, it is when you make your worst decisions. When you're there and you're hurting, you should never make a decision in the midst of your hurt. That's how come when people come to me and they say, well, Pastor, such and such has died. My husband has died. My wife has died. And I don't know what to do. My suggestion to them is this: don't do nothing. Don't do anything for about a year. Whatever that's there, hold on to it, because you don't know what you're going to want to keep. Don't be giving nothing away. Don't sell nothing. Hold on to it at least for a year. And because when you go through something traumatic, when you go through something hard, when you go through something that shakes you to the core of your being, you ain't got no business making serious decisions.
Good teaching.
Hold on for about a year. Now, I'm not saying hold on to it for like 15 or 20 years, because, you know, some of that stuff you could kind of got away with and should have gave it away before the person passed. You got a piano you don't even play. But you know that was his favorite piano, but you don't play it. But, you know, if you want to hold on to it, hold on to it. But my point is that when we're alone, we make our worst decision.
Yes.
Always find you a ride or die. Now, what do I mean by ride or die? Well, a ride or die friend is just like that young lady and that young man I've talked about before. It is someone who you know and they know you. It's someone who has been your friend or has shown themselves to care about you and able to give you the best advice that they can. Now, friends all come in different colors. Amen. Your friends should not always look like you. Your friends, your real friends may not even oftentimes think like you. Because sometimes you need somebody that think different from you to help you outside the box. You see, some of us, we're caught up because we can't think out beyond where we are. And there are people who are living lives that are living outside their box, but you like, well, let me close the door so I can stay in this box tighter. Amen. You ought to find some friends that'll come knock on the door and say, come out of your cave. Let's go have breakfast. Let's go have lunch. Let me find out how you doing. Let me find out what you're up to. Your ride or die is not only just your friend, but then they'll help you get to where you need to go. And if they'll go with you, they'll say, we'll either get there together or we'll die on the way. That's a ride or die friend. Where you go, I go. What you do, I'll do. But see, you got to be careful with your friends.
Yes.
You got to pick your ride or dies very carefully.
Yes.
Here in the text, we find that these three women have three questions they really have to ask. And the three questions are, what do we do now? Where do we go? And who should we rely on for help? So if you are able to answer this question, then you will get the gist of the sermon. Can you count on your ride or die? First of all, in verse 15, This is actually Naomi speaking in verse 15. And she says, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after your sister-in-law. And so I'm coming down here because I need to make a visual. Mrs. Evans, just stand up here for a minute. And as she's sitting here and she's making these comments to the sisters-in-law, there's this one named Ruth. And the Bible says in verse 14 that she clung to Naomi. So Naomi is, she say, I'm going to hug him good. So while Naomi is telling Ruth and Orpah that, you know, y'all need to go your way, there's one that says, you can say that if you want, but I'm here for you. And so I ain't going to tell you to stop. But she says to Orpah, you go your way. And the Bible says that they hugged and they kissed and they went their way. But then Ruth stayed. Ruth stayed. And Ruth stays and Ruth makes this statement to Naomi in regards to what it is that she's willing to do. And so when you're looking for your ride or die should not separate from you. See, what makes your ride or die is that depending on, not even regardless of the circumstances or the situation, your ride or die will stay with you. No matter what it is that you're going through, your ride or die will be there for you. They'll be there to celebrate your successes. They'll be there to help you in your failures. And the fact of the matter is if you lived any amount of life, you know that you'll have more failures than you ever will have successes. Yes. See, your real friends, you know who your real friends are when you get into some real problems. Yes. And so what we find here with Naomi and Orpah and Ruth is that their circumstances are such that they're faced with the fear of the unknown. Naomi left one way, and she's going back to Jerusalem in another way. It wasn't even sure that how she was going to be received when she got back to Jerusalem. And so as the matriarch of the family, she is, she's a little bit afraid because she doesn't know what the future will hold. She just simply knows that there's no future right here. She doesn't know that even if I make it back to Jerusalem, because you understand that these were back in those days and terrible things could happen to you on a lost and deserted road. And we're talking about three women who maybe or had the possibility of traveling by themselves. And so Naomi basically said, I'm willing to take that risk on my own, but I'm not willing to risk these other two women in that. So she tells Orpah, you go back to what you know. And you got to remember, these were Moabite women. And so their God wasn't the God of Israel. Their God was a Chemosh. And so she would have to go back to her people, back to her parents' house. You imagine, you know, here you are, you had a husband, you were a wife, there was a track that you were on, and now that track has been derailed. And so now you got to reset and go back. And we understand that sometimes it's hard, it's difficult to reset and go back because you have already, separated from your mama and your daddy. And now you got to go back to where they were. That's difficult. That's hard. But Naomi says, I don't see a way, I don't see a future where all three of us are together. Go back to your people, go back to your gods, go back to what you know, because that's what I'm doing. But then Ruth holds on to Naomi. And Naomi, doesn't matter to her where we go, because I'm your ride or dying, I don't want to be separated from you. I know the situation doesn't look good, but we're always better together. And something about those 10 years that they were together. Obviously, during that 10 years, Naomi was pouring in to Ruth. And somewhere in those 10 years, they became more than maybe just sister-in-law and mother-in-law, but they became friends. And then they bonded to such an extent that wherever Naomi was going to go, it didn't matter what it was that we were going to face, we're going to face it together. And don't you know that's what good friends do? Good friends will hook up with you and go with you as opposed to sending you. You know, oftentimes you go and find a friend and they got good advice, but they ain't going with you. You got some good friends and they'll hear your story and, you know, and you kind of hoping at the end it'll follow up with a loan and they'll say, you know what, my money is funny and my change is strange, but I'm going to be praying for you. You know, we good for that one, right? Or we'll dig up them three Baptist dollars, you know, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. And we say, well, you know, you just take these, baby, and, you know, you'll be all right. But Naomi and Ruth didn't have nothing. All they had was each other. Yeah. And so when Naomi starts giving this advice, one took it, but the other one said, no, I'm not going to separate from you. And you know what? I'm doing my Bible study, and I said, let me see what the names of these people mean. And so I got to looking at Elimelech, and Elimelech's name means that God is king. And I looked at, was it Chilion's name? And Chilion's name means, okay, weakened. That wasn't the one that I had, but. And Mahlon's name was actually weakened, was actually sickly. Weakened and sickly die. And the one whose name is God is Lord, he goes to see the Lord. Yes. And so they leave all three of their wives, and now they're in a situation. But, you know, you look at Naomi's name, and her name means pleasant. Yes. And you look at Ruth's name, and Ruth's name means beauty. And you look at Orpah's name, and it means gazelle. And she did exactly that. She ran away. But Naomi and Ruth stay together, and they end up being a pleasant beauty. Amen. By the end of the story.
That's good.
And so here we is that Ruth now changes really her identity in such a way. You see, what makes a ride or die friend a ride or die friend is that when the going gets bad, they don't leave you hanging. You know, when the rubber meets the road, they stand up, buckle up, and shuffle out the door. And so your ride or die won't separate from you, but what they will do is they'll take on your identity. And so this is what essentially Ruth does when she begins to have that, makes that statement to Naomi. See, it's more than just me hanging with you, but now I'm identifying with you.
Yes.
Ruth says, entreat me not to leave you. In other words, don't keep telling me to leave you. Or to return from following you, because I'm going to do either one. I'm going to chase behind you, and I'm going to follow you. And where you go, I'm going to go. And where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. Now, here it is. Now, they don't know. I mean, they know where they're going, but they don't know what they're going to meet on the way.
That's right.
They ain't got no money, ain't got no help, they ain't got no men. They're getting ready to go on a road that's filled with dangers. And then even if they are successful in getting back to Jerusalem, they don't know how they'll be received. There's just a whole bunch of unknowns in this thing. Naomi thinks that she's doing Ruth and Orpah a service by not having them go with her, because she herself doesn't know. But don't you know life is just like that?
Oh, yes.
God will put you in situations where, and send you down a road that you don't know how you're going to get there, what it's going to look like when you get there. And then when you get there, you don't know if you're going to have any friends there when you get there. But God is a wonderful God, because what he does oftentimes is he'll hook you up with somebody. They may not have much more than you, but guess what? They'll encourage you.
Yeah.
When you need the exhorted, they'll exhort you. And then when you need an arm to lean on and to cry on, they'll be there for you to lean on and cry on. And don't you know it works both ways? These women needed each other at this point in time in their life. If you imagine if Ruth decided to leave and Naomi was by herself, she already felt as if God had turned his back on her. She already blamed God for having taken her husband, see, her and her sons. It's a terrible thing when people die in general, right? But your children, I mean, you know, just as a parent, you know, you just never think that your children will go before you. You set up everything and your mindset is that when I pass, I'm going to pass what I have on to my kids. But what happens when your kids go home before you? All the things that you had put in place, all the dreams that you had for them. Amen. All the dreams that you had for them now go away. How do I reorder my life? How do I reorder my thinking? I mean, all these things that Naomi had to go through. And then if she had to do it by herself. But Naomi had a ride or die. And her name was Ruth. Yes. And Ruth said, you know what? Because I love you so, I'm going to change my identity so I can hang with you. Yes. Now, some of us have that same testimony. Isn't it true? That there was a point in time in our life where, you know, people called us a hoochie, but now we find ourselves being holy. There was a point in time where we were promiscuous. Come on, fellas. And then all of a sudden, you went from promiscuous to peculiar. You know, the Bible does say that he'll call you to become a peculiar people. Yes. You'll change your identity when you find a ride or die that will lead you in the right way to go. Yes, and so here, Ruth is telling Naomi, where you go, I'll go. Where you lay down, I'll lay down. I don't know where we're going. I don't know how we're going to get there. I don't know what we're going to do when we get there. But when we get there, we're going to get there together. She says, your people will be my people. Yes. See, her people were Moabites. Right, right. She said, I'm not going to be a Moabite anymore. You can call me Ruth the Moabite, but I'm Ruth who was a Moabite. But now I'm an Israelite. Yes, come on. You got that same testimony. If you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you came from the darkness into the marvelous light. You changed your identity simply by believing on the work of Jesus Christ. When you said, you are my God and you are my Savior, you went from death unto life. You changed your identity. You are no longer a child of darkness, but you're a child of light. You changed your identity. You were headed to hell, but you changed your identity, and now you're headed to heaven. You've changed your identity. Your God will be my God. You stuck with me even through death. She said, if you die, I'll hang around and be buried where you get buried. I don't know about y'all. But if you go, don't expect me to wait. And then, you know, when I go, you know, I'm not going to pine. I mean, I love Miss Evans. I love you with all my heart. You know, I love you, baby. I love you. But after someone goes, you got to live. There are people who pine themselves to death. You got to live. What kind of witness do you have if you end up pining yourself to death? Preacher. What kind of, truly, the only person you ought to be pining after is Jesus Christ. Preacher. Because that is the nature of this life. Amen. You'll either leave this way one way or the other. You'll either die or you'll be raptured.
Yes, sir.
I'm voting for rapture. But if I don't get raptured, I have to die.
Yes, sir.
There's no two ways about it. The wonderful thing about it is that I know,
no.
Like I know, I know. That if I were to die, I'd spend eternity to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the question is, what do you know? Where will you spend eternity? Naomi and Ruth decide that they're going to go together. Your ride or die won't separate from you. They'll take on your identification, but then they'll run with you. They make a determination here. And this is Naomi who makes the determination in verse 18. She said, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she stopped talking to her about it.
That's right.
In other words, I told you what my assessment was of our situation. I told you what it was. This is my best advice, that we need to part company. Now, want you refuse to go after Opa. If you run with me, I don't know where we're going to run to. Ruth said, I don't care. Wherever we run, we're going to run together. Her choice was to stay with her ride or die. Her choice was that no matter all the hurts that we go through in this life, no matter what the situation is to come, even though it may not be favorable in the end, I'm going to run with you.
Amen.
As long as you run with me.
Yeah.
Oftentimes our feelings are overcome by the situation at the moment. Hold on and hold out. Naomi let her circumstances dictate what her situation was. But can I put my finger here for a moment and let you know I serve a God who's able to do above and beyond all that I might ask or even think. And so when I think I have no resources, in fact, I have the greatest resource of all. He may not talk to me all the time. He may not even come to me in a still, quiet voice. He may not always have some manna from heaven that'll fall, but he'll always make sure that I'm all right. How do I know? I ain't miss no meals. And whenever I need to go somewhere, I got a way to get there. May not be the way that I want, but I got there. Whenever I'm alone, I'm never lonely, because I've got a God who cares about me. When I got a bill that got to be paid, it gets paid. May not always come the way that I expect it to. Maybe some good soul comes by and just drops some groceries at my front door. Praise be unto God for groceries.
Yeah.
Never count God out, because God's got everything in his hand. And so maybe the reason why you can't sleep at night is because you haven't trusted in your ride or die. Can I tell you who your true ride and die friend is? Your true ride or die friend is Jesus. Because even before you knew that you would need Jesus, Jesus knew that you'd need him. Even before you knew that you was going to run into trouble, Jesus knew. And Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. Jesus knows that you're going to need a friend. And so he says, I'll stick closer to you than a brother. Jesus is all that you need. Sometimes you got to go through the things that you go through so that you might realize that when you ain't got nothing else and all that you got is Jesus, you need to lean on Jesus, and Jesus will get you through. Jesus is your real ride or die. Why? Because even before I knew that I was a sinner, sinking in sin, Jesus dies for me. Even before over 2,000 years ago, Jesus allows people, old, mean, nasty people, to beat him with stripes upon his body, rip the flesh off his back. He allows old, mean, and nasty men to spit on him. He allows old, mean, and nasty men to plait crowns of thorns and crush them on his head. Yeah. Here is the master of the universe. Well, he allows all these things to happen to him. Why? Because he knew that old raggedy Stanley Evans was going to need him on some rusty, dusty day when he was sitting there by himself saying, Lord, if you don't help me, nobody else can.
Yes, yes, yes.
Make Jesus your ride or die friend. He's the only one who can help you in a time of trouble, befriend you in a time of need, carry you when you can't walk no more, be your battle axe in a time of war, a strong tower against your enemy. When you make Jesus your ride or die, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll change your identity to make you his own. He is determined that in time, his time to call and yours to answer. He is steadfastly minded that you go where he goes and lodges where he'll lodge. He'll make you his people and he'll be your God. As I journey through the land, there's a songwriter, he says this, as I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without and within, but my Lord leads me on. Through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.